It's great to have you back today. If you're new to the broadcast, welcome. Podcasts of each episode will be available online, and Karen is going to be along at the close today to tell you how you can get in touch with me. Please go to Twitter and Facebook. I post there. Now this week, we are focused on this truth. God is one. God is one. There's only one God. And we reached inside Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and took the Hebrew meaning for the name God, which is Elohim. Genesis 1:1 in English reads, "In the beginning God." And the word God in Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, reads Elohim. We had that Hebrew grammar lesson out of which I offered that Elohim means the greatest God of all. God is the greatest God of all. He's to be honored high above all other gods. However, I recognize this can leave us with a question. If God is the greatest God of all, then is there more than one God? The Bible answers us firmly, no. Remember the big point I'm making this week. God is one. There's only one God, and he is Elohim. But Elohim has to deal with other gods in the sense that people believe in and worship and make idols of other gods. So yesterday we began an exploration of this reality in the Bible, and as a start, we went forward to Exodus 20, and we read about God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. Here, God correctly anticipates, through his perfect knowledge, that human beings are going to make up and dream into their existence other gods, at the exclusion of Elohim. This is the approach that Elohim does not exist, but my God. Whatever God I make up in my mind and heart does exist. Or there is a God, but he is not the God of the Bible. People either do that, or they add their gods in addition to Elohim. This is an approach that thinks, I'll include the God of the Bible alongside other gods just to be safe. So my God is then equal to the God of the Bible. Billions of people have practiced these approaches in history, and billions of people practice these approaches today. This is their sort of philosophy of following quote-unquote God. Maybe you adhere to one of these approaches. If so, you could write to me and tell me about it. Let me just refresh your memory of Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. In this 20th chapter of Exodus, God is very specific with his instruction. Elohim invites Moses to come up to a mountain called Mount Sinai, otherwise known as Mount Horeb. Moses hikes up. Once there, Exodus 20, verse 1 starts. Then God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. Many of you will recognize these as the start of the Ten Commandments that God gives to Moses. They can also be found in Deuteronomy 5. And what does God start with? He begins by commanding these first followers of his not to worship any other gods. And then in the second command, he adds that they must not make idols and worship them. According to Elohim, his people are to have no other gods, and they are not to make idols to worship. In other words, no idolatry. Why? Well, of course, because there are no other gods. The Lord your God, verse 2, knows he is the only God. So he's warning against a completely foolish practice. Since no other gods exist, why would anyone with any measure of intelligence then dream up a god and make and bow before an idol? As it turns out, a whole lot of anyone's will dream up and make gods and bow before idols. So let's journey a little further along in the Bible and meet one such false god, a very popular one indeed. And watch Elohim demonstrate how ridiculous it is to believe in this non-existent deity. Fast forward again in your Bibles, this time to 1 Kings 16. Now, 1 Kings follows 2 Samuel and comes before 2 Kings. It's no surprise. One comes before two. When you get to 1 Kings 16, put your finger at verse 29. Now God's people are in the land. The land is split between north and south, and each territory has a king. There's a king in the north and a king in the south. At this time, the northern kingdom is called Israel, and the southern kingdom is called Judah. As we will see in our ongoing study of the Bible, the people had wanted a king, and so God gave them one. And then it was one after another, and finally in 1 Kings 16:29, we come to the name of a king in the north. 1 Kings 16:29 says, "Now Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him." So the name of this king is Ahab, and he's evil. We see this clearly in verses 32 to 33. I'm reading 1 Kings 16, 32 to 33. "So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah." Highlight in your mind the words Baal and Asherah. Both are false gods. They do not exist, but the Canaanites worship them incessantly. And now the followers of the one true God are in Canaan, and they're being tempted to worship Baal and Asherah as well. Baal, mentioned throughout the Bible, was very important to the Canaanites because he was the god of the sun and the storm, including rain. In an agrarian farming culture, it was obviously crucial to have rain when the soil needed it, and sun when the soil needed that. Sun and rain are essential for crops to grow. Plus, they convinced themselves that Baal produced children. He was a fertility god. So if you want crops to grow and you want children to be born, then you worship Baal. Asherah was a female god, a goddess, also consistently worshipped by the Canaanites. She is also known as Ashtoreth, and she was represented by an idol. In your mind, think of a tree trunk without limbs. Imagine that standing before you is a limbless tree trunk, and out of that trunk is carved the symbol of a female deity. Then that trunk, like a pole, is placed in the ground, and people come and bow before it. Asherah is closely associated with Baal, and she's the moon goddess, and also the goddess of love and war. And both Baal and Asherah are sensual beings that are worshipped by way of unbridled lust, unleashed in prostitution, especially prostitution that was practiced in the temples scattered throughout the land. So to come and worship Baal and Asherah meant that you'd be met by prostitutes who served your enthusiasm for sex, all while you supposedly, quote-unquote, worshipped God. By the way, both then and now, every time folks take to the worship of false God, there comes with it the sexual exploitation of other people. Most often male and female prostitutes, who are regularly young boys and girls. In the world in which we live, sex trafficking is rampant, and countries where people bow down to idols in their worship of anything other than the one true God. Because, of course, the one true God will never, ever tolerate the sexual exploitation of anyone at any time in any place. Elohim condemns sexual exploitation in the strongest possible way, an eternal judgment. But once people do away with Elohim, once they deny his existence and or invent these other gods like Baal and Asherah to be worshipped, then out goes any sense of moral right and wrong. Everything is now acceptable. And this, by the way, lest you think I'm being too condemning of other nations, is a monumental problem right here in the United States of America. Our communities are plagued by the sexual exploitation of many. So this is who Baal is, and this is who Asherah is. They serve as prime examples of the gods that Elohim is commanding his people to avoid worshiping. But tragically, as we'll see again tomorrow, Ahab was an evil king, and he worshipped Baal so passionately that he built Baal an altar. He even built Baal a house, and he made an Asherah pole, stuck it in the ground, and worshipped it. And the people of God, the ones who had received the Ten Commandments, who God had warned, are now worshipping Baal and Asherah right alongside the Canaanites. They did not listen to Elohim. And I'm sad to say that people the world over today are not listening to Elohim either. What I'm sharing with you today is a contemporary problem, not purely historical. Now, we'll soon need to stop here for today, but I really want to encourage you to come back tomorrow. Remember the truth that is before us. God is one. There's only one God. And yet, because gods like Baal and Asherah exist in the minds and hearts of people, the one God Elohim addresses idolatry. He puts this right up front in the Ten Commandments on purpose. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. And yet they did. Oh, how this must have hurt the heart of the one living true God. And oh, how this must hurt him today. People of New England, God is inviting us to worship him. He is the only God, Elohim. If you do not worship God today, will you consider doing so? Please, worship the one living and true God. And join me tomorrow. We're going to continue this story in 1 Kings, and we're going to finish the week together learning that God is one. And let me just remind you that I would love to hear from you. In fact, if you would like to know more about worshiping the one true God, please email me today, mark, at markaswallow.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. And then join me again tomorrow for more of God Is.